And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM, bringing you the sources you don't ordinarily get to hear in the corporate media. And we have two interviews today. Later in the program, we'll be speaking about the Iranian elections again, doing some follow-up on that. But first, we have a special interview. We're going to be speaking with Diana Ralph, and she's the co-chair of Independent Jewish Voices, IJV. IJV recently had an annual general meeting, and it was a significant event, and we wanted to catch up on the details. So, Diana, thanks for coming in and being with us today.
Thanks so much, Brendan.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you again. It's been a while. We haven't been able to be at all the events we want to. Peter and I wanted to be at the IJV conference, and we've been caught up in all sorts of things. But certainly it's a significant event. It is the first annual general meeting. Is that right?
That's correct.
I understand that the profile of Independent Jewish Voices has increased over the last few months, and there's a few causes for that. There was the conflict in Gaza, and there was the play Seven Jewish Children, in which the IJV was brought into a national discourse on. In fact, the play Seven Jewish Children, that was aired on CBC, and I believe they did interview one of the IJV members, didn't they?
They did, yeah. I think Abby Batten,
yes.
Or Abby Lipman, sorry.
That was very significant because I understand even BBC was not willing to play that very interesting play. But, of course, they did here in Canada on the CBC, and, again, the IJV was brought into the discussion. So I'm just wondering, the increasing profile of the organization, is that why you decided it was time to have a conference, or was there another reason?
Well, it's about a year since our founding conference, and we had, at the founding conference, the people who had come left an interim steering delegated us to put together a plan for an infrastructure for the organization. There were some key issues that had not been that we weren't able to come to some consensus on at the first meeting. For example, whether to support BDS and Palestinian right of return, and we hadn't. We didn't actually exist as an organization a year ago, so we thought it was time to formalize who we are and to get ratification from our members who have been growing exponentially since we began.
I understand one of the keynote speakers at this Independent Jewish Voices conference was Judy Rebick. Now, Judy was one of those Jewish feminists, who occupied the Israeli consulate during the Gaza conflict, I believe. So was that the content of her speech, or what was her message?
Judy, actually, all of the speakers, all of them, without being prompted to, were raving about the importance of the work that Independent Jewish Voices has done this past year and the crucialness of having an alternative progressive Jewish voice here in Canada and internationally. So that was a lot of what she talked about, and she also spoke about the need to be strategic in how we move forward and implement our action plans, and she was very enthusiastic about our work. So had Rachel Corey's parents were there as well, and coming from Olympia, Seattle, or near Seattle, and they also were saying that IJV is well known in the States even, and how grateful they are for the support that we've made in helping to produce My Name is Rachel Corey and providing support for Palestinian and Gaza, people of Gaza especially.
Organizations like the IJV are growing, I mean, in the U.S., right, and also in Great Britain. So there are a burgeoning of these types of groups.
That's right. I mean, over the last year especially, the movement is really taking off, and Jewish groups are joining all over the world. We've run into people, progressive Jews from Europe, in France, in the UK, in Australia, in Argentina, and there are at least two or three groups in the United States that we're working with. That we saw this especially when we went to the Durban Review Conference Conference Against Racism in May. And we were working in solidarity with other progressive Jewish voices, groups around the world.
This is very significant because, you mentioned that a lot of the speakers touched upon the importance of having an organization like the IJV. You have the conflict in Gaza, you have the release of plays like Seven Jewish Children, and then you have the Durban Review Conference. So are these the types of events and discussions that the IJV exists to have Jews come and discuss these issues on?
It isn't just discuss. We are an action group. And so I can tell you some of the issues that we were discussing at the AGM. But, yes, those are a lot of the things that we focused on this past year. When I put together the annual report, I was boggled that we had something like almost at least one action a week for the past year that we've been working on. Everything from bringing Omar Khadr home to Abu Razik to George Galloway to the Gaza massacre to the JNF and Canada Park and Al-Haq and Baleen and I could just go on and on about the kinds of issues that we've taken on. At the AGM, we especially wanted to focus on two main sets of issues. The first one was about what do Palestinians want from IJV. And in that, and the workshops that we focused on there were on the Palestinian right of return and getting clearer about what that means and how it might be implemented, boycotts, divestment, and sanctions movements, and again, to get clearer on what it means and how it might be implemented and how IJV could contribute, Gaza solidarity, Canadian complicity in the Israeli arms trade, and how IJV again needs to work on that, and getting clearer on Zionism as and how we relate to that. So that was one set of workshops that went on at the AGM where everybody really worked hard with good expert leadership. The second set of workshops that we were working on was how can IJV best support its allies, because over the past year, the Canadian government and the Israel lobby have been attacking almost a whole range of progressive movements. The anti-racism movement has been being attacked. As you know, the Canadian government was the first government to pull out and boycott the World Conference Against Racism review. Unions are being attacked, especially when they take stands in solidarity with Palestinians. The peace movement is coming under attack. The Canadian Arab Federation and Muslims in general are being targeted with Islamophobia, and the Canadian Arab Federation lost over $1 million contract simply because their executive director criticized the Canadian government's support for Israel's assault on Gaza. So, and also, we want to this year begin working far more in solidarity with First Nations people in Canada because of the strong parallels between how Canada treats its First Nations communities and how Palestinians are treated in Israel. So we had workshops on all of those topics as well.
Well, for those of us just tuning in, I'm speaking with Diana Rolfe, and she's the co-coordinator of Independent Jewish Voices. Now, Diana, I mean, you've mentioned quite a few interesting issues here, and one of them that caught my attention was the Canadian Arab Federation. I know that their ESL funding was cut off by the Harper government when they spoke out against Canada's biased position on the Gaza conflict, and certainly in Hamilton, we're going to be having a fundraiser for their legal battle, and that's happening on July 4th, and I'll give details about that later in the program.
Excellent. Well done.
Yeah, it's great. They've been going around. I heard they just were in Mississauga recently. A similar event was held. It was packed, standing room only, actually, and they raised quite a lot of money, and there were some very excellent speeches. So we hope to have replicate some degree of that success here in Hamilton. I'm just wondering, in terms of the Canadian Arab Federation, I understand they had a speaker there. What were they saying in terms of Jews and Muslims working together?
Mohammed Boujinen, who's the executive director, spoke on behalf of CAF. And again, he talked about the rising tide of Islamophobia, which is terrorizing Muslims here in Canada, and the key importance of having progressive Jews standing in solidarity with Arabs and contradicting the notion that we are enemies or that you know, the rhetoric that comes out of the Israel lobby.
I just want to think back to what you said about the growth of other organizations like the IJB. In the United States, I'm not entirely sure what there is, but there are organizations like J Street, right, mm-hmm. where they're trying to get the liberal Jews to work together.
Yeah, J Street is slightly to the left of the Israel lobby, not very far left, but they're a good movement. Jewish Voice for Peace is excellent, and American Jews for a Just Peace is another good group. There's also Brit Tzedek V'Shalom, which is more like Canadian Friends of Peace Now, which is a very strongly Zionist group, but it's also supportive of the people of Palestine.
There's quite a diverse collection of people that were supporting the conference and giving speeches. What kind of support are you getting from labor unions?
You mean financially or emotionally?
participants, you could say.
Yeah, well, we're getting strong support from labor unions. We actually just got a donation from CUPE. We got CUPW has been very supportive. We have a good working relationship with people in the Canadian Labor Congress, and we're starting to develop relationships with PSAC and other groups.
I understand that this boycott, divestment, sanctions campaign, or BDS as it's called, it was an important topic at this conference. So could you just explain to us what this BDS proposal is and what people were discussing or deciding on this?
Sure. This is a response to the Palestinian civil society call in 2005. They asked for three main demands. One is that that Israel end the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, and that Gaza is being occupied, even though it's because of the way it's being controlled and sieged. So that's demand number one. Demand number two is full equality for the people of non-Jews within Israel. And the third request was for allies around the world to begin a campaign of boycott, divestment, and sanctions against industries and university corporate relationships, military relationships, and all other ways that to put pressure on the Israeli government to fulfill those first two demands. So IJV passed a resolution at the AGM. It goes on it's a few paragraphs long, but the key parts are, therefore, be it resolved that independent Jewish voices will work towards an end to military assaults and other acts of violence that target civilians, demand that the Israeli government immediately and permanently withdraw from the West Bank, Gaza, and the Golan, and cease all discrimination against Arab citizens in Israel, which is the civil society demands. Call on the Canadian government to cease its one-sided and uncritical support of Israel, and two, insist that Israel abide by international law in its relations with Palestinians. We support the Palestinian call for a campaign of boycott, divestment, and sanctions until Israel meets its obligations to recognize the Palestinian people's right to self-determination and complies with the precepts of international law, including the right of Palestinian refugees to return to their homes and properties as stipulated in UN Resolution 194. I'm sorry, that was the third demand, was the right of return.
And this resolution was adopted then?
It was adopted almost unanimously, I would say by 95% of the people, and the only two people who had concerns were not against the resolution itself. They were just concerned that they might have trouble selling it to Jewish members in their city.
What are your plans for growth then? Certainly there are a lot of Jews who never felt represented by what are supposed to be the official spokespeople or spokes organizations for the Jewish community, and obviously you've been doing very well so far. How do you plan to reach out and speak to more Jews?
That's a major part of our agenda for this coming year. We're planning speaking tours to bring in both Israeli and Palestinian speakers, and also many of our members have just come back from Gaza, and also was speaking to Israeli and Palestinian activists, and we're hoping to tour them around this summer. We're working on setting up, we have active chapters in each city, and each chapter in the seven cities across Canada, each chapter is reaching out to invite new Jews in to join IJV and organizing activities locally to support their events. And one of the things that we are hoping to do, actually we've committed to doing, is that within the next 12 months, we will be putting together a high-profile delegation of politicians, indigenous leaders, union leaders, doctors, lawyers, and so on, to visit Palestinians and Israelis, Arab groups, and peace activists, and to begin taking on solidarity projects across in things like twinning with a community or with a project of Palestinians, and both inside of the West Bank and also inside of Israel. And we're also going to be preparing issue-oriented idea kits full of multi-leveled information that bring people up to speed on specific projects and organizations and how to support them.
That's quite a list. I'm glad you have such capable people, as has been demonstrated so far. I'm just thinking now, you did say that Rachel Corrie's parents spoke at the event, and I understand that must have been very moving. How did you feel when they spoke?
They brought me to tears. They are such courageous, eloquent people, and they've been to Gaza many times and met with the families that Rachel was working with and have continued to be doing everything they can to raise funds and awareness and do everything they can to end the siege. One of the other things that happened at the conference was on the Saturday night, we also had a professional reading of Seven Jewish Children and also a reading from The Facts, Arthur Milner's new play on the occupied territories. And all of that was just beautiful and eloquent and very touching.
I wanted to ask you briefly about Arthur or the Milner's new play, because we know about Seven Jewish Children, and we've spoken about that on the program. It's certainly something that people can look up on Google, Seven Jewish Children, a very, very interesting play. We'd like to perform it in Hamilton at some point.
Good idea.
Yeah, we're thinking of it. We're trying to work that out. In terms of Milner's play, I had read references or mentions of it, but could you tell us about what this is?
Yeah, it's a murder mystery set in the occupied territories, in which a Palestinian has been killed, and the question is, and the Israelis are not, of course, paying much attention to it, and it's largely a dialogue between the Palestinian police officer who understands the whole issues of the oppressiveness of the occupation and his dialogue with a member of the IDF. And it's very, very good. And it's going to be shown at GCTC in the Great Canadian Theatre Company here in Ottawa in the fall. And I'm sure Arthur would love to have it staged elsewhere.
Yes, it seems that the activism around the occupation has led to an explosion of creativity, given what we've been seeing lately. I'm just curious, actually. I know it was one workshop among many at the conference, but I noticed Richard Saunders from Coalition Against the Arms Trade was presenting there as well. Do you happen to recall anything about that presentation? I know he's done some great work on Haiti.
Richard is an amazing researcher, and as you know, he's been coordinating the fight against the CANSEC arms fair that's going on here in Ottawa, or that just ended. And IJV has been making presentations to City Council here, too. What Richard has done in relation to Israel is brilliant. He's made a list of the hundreds of millions of dollars of Canadian contracts and Canadian corporations that are making component parts of military equipment for Israel. And he's also been working on Canadian complicity in supporting Israeli war crimes, in, for example, the white phosphorus bombs and the pilotless drones that and other weapons that are specifically designed to target civilian urban populations like the people in Gaza. And he's been doing a terrific job of showing how Israel is using the people of Gaza to field test illegal weapons, which they will be selling as, quote, counterinsurgency products around the world to stop revolutionary movements everywhere.
Wow. Well, I encourage people to look at that work if they can access it. And certainly,
yeah, just go on the COAT website, C-O-A-T. It's the Coalition to Oppose the Arms Trade, and you can just type in Israel, and you can find all of his facts just right there.
Okay, and you should definitely look at the Haiti stuff, too, anyone
yeah.
listening, because I have been able to use that for research in the past, very well documented and interesting and shocking. Well, I guess before we go, I just wanted to know, you had mentioned the problem that many progressive movements come under attack by Israel, pro-Israel lobbyists. And I'm just wondering, where do you see the IJV in standing with these movements? I mean, that could be people at York University or whatever.
We did pass a resolution to support the people at York University, and the Toronto chapter has been working very hard to, well, they're attending the conference and also, well, actually they won. You know, the conference is going ahead in spite of all of the B'nai B'rith attacks. So we've been doing everywhere we can. We've been supporting people who've come under attack and organizations. You know, the Israeli Apartheid Week events that were attacked by at Carleton University and elsewhere. And we supported the George Galloway getting into Canada when he was barred under the Canada-Israel Security Agreement, and lots of other places, the Canadian Arab Federation. On the other hand, what we're trying to do is to do more than just be reactive. So we also are lobbying and developing good relationships with progressive Canadian politicians in all parties.
This is very interesting. I'm just wondering, if people want to learn more about the IJV activities and see what's coming in the future, should they wait to hear from IJV on CBC Radio, or is there like a website that we can
We
look
have
at?
A wonderful new website that is, right now it's still a little rough, but you can go on IJVCanada.org.
IJVCanada.org, is that like one word, IJVCanada, then .org?
Yep.
Okay, that's good. All right. Well, Diana, I guess we gotta go, and I'll let our listeners know about our CAF-related event, too, and the Galloway thing. So, again, thank you very much for bringing this to us, and we're going to let people know about some of the details and then put this out on the Internet as well for those that are curious. So
it's
thank you once again.
It's great talking to you, Brendan.
Thank you. Great speaking with you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Diana Ralph, co-coordinator, co-chair of the Independent Jewish Voices here in Canada. And I just wanted to mention, in relation to the Galloway being banned and the pressure that the Canadian Arab Federation has faced, an issue which the IJV has been very active on, there's going to be a free speech fundraiser here in Hamilton on July 4th. And it's significant because, a victory for the Canadian Arab Federation is going to be a victory for us and everyone in Canada if we can go ahead on this. We want to make sure that speakers like George Galloway, the British MP, can enter Canada and make speeches for the people that organized it. We all wanted to hear him, and that was canceled by the government. So if you really want to help out and be part of the free speech fundraiser, you can give us a call. There's a few numbers. You can go to www.HamiltonCoalitionToStopTheWar.ca. That's HamiltonCoalitionToStopTheWar.ca. And under the events thing, there's the full details. Or you can call Ken. You can call Ken at 905-383-7693. That's Ken at 905-383-7693. Pick up some tickets. There's discounts for tables. There are going to be interesting speakers, such as Khaled Muammar of the Canadian Arab Federation and others. Music by Halal Meat Feed, which is a great upcoming new band. I saw them perform a few months back. So definitely try to get part of that if you can.
If we don't defend free speech, they stop Galloway. Now probably somebody like Jimmy Carter won't be allowed to come in because he was at a press conference in Gaza with the prime minister, the elected prime minister of Palestine, Ismail Haniyeh, who is a member of Hamas. So if the logic of not allowing Galloway in because he was in Gaza and dealt with the elected government, then I guess Jimmy Carter is not going to be allowed to come to Canada, too.
That's right, by the crazy standards of this government. It's just more and more people are going to be banned. More and more opportunities for free speech are going to be suppressed until you're standing there wondering what happens. So let's fight this now. Let's win this now.
So it's $25 to come to the dinner and help defend free speech.
That's right, and there are discounts for tables.